Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh,
Knockoma Nation
Podcast Show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation Podcast Show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Brown and JT Holton, fellas. How's it going?
I thought I was Gardner Minshew.
Gardner Minshew. Well, I mean, you kind of got the thick beard, the little scruff. If you were a little less scruffy, actually, you need to like take it down.
I know, I need
just
to shave
it
down
more.
Again. I got the stash rocking.
Yeah. 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 Do you have an RV? That's all I can say. Yeah.
No, but I should. I need to get one.
I also am going to need a shirt with a collar unbuttoned all the way down to the belly button, just about.
You know,
just
like
all the way down. There you go.
You know I can do that. That's not a problem.
Wow.
Yeah. Josh taking screenshots, I'm sure, right now. That's what
he's not doing. I'm not.
But,
keep it nice and tan.
Mm-hmm. Nice and tan. Fellas, are you ready for a fun episode today? I'm looking forward to it.
I think so.
4th of July weekend. Are you guys ready to rock and roll, celebrate America? America!
We're going to Kenny's house.
Oh, woo! Say the rest of that quote. You're coming to my house. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man.
JT's going to. We need JT to come up and hang out, too.
Whoa. We're looking for something to do on the 4th.
Well, come on.
Dude, come to Livonia, baby.
Come on.
Let's go.
There it is.
Come on.
Hold on.
For real. 100%.
Okay. I'm texting in right now.
I was like, because, you know, me and Nikki are done with these libtards here in Boone. And so. We were like, let's go to Ken's. I bet they're doing fireworks. And so I called Kenny. I was like, hey, what are you doing for the 4th? He's like, oh, we go down to my aunt's house down there, and they throw down about $1,000 worth of fireworks. And we're like, we're in.
Yeah. They shoot Tannerite, do all the fun stuff. Yeah. It should be fun.
Kenny, food. I'm serious. I'm
yeah, come on.
We're coming. We're
okay.
Rolling. All right.
You may have to sleep downstairs in the basement, but like I've got couches.
Ask Josh. I'll sleep in the dirtiest motel I can find.
Yeah.
It's true. Care. It's
you're
actually
good. We'll be happy. Josh is kicking my baby out of his room. So
Only thing is, I've got to go get breakfast at your breakfast place. Well, the local farmers and stuff.
100%. We'll try.
Yeah. Bacon and eggs over easy.
Yeah, we can do that. We'll have to like do social distancing. They aren't allowed to open.
They do that in Livonia?
They actually do have the tables separated off so that only 4 people can sit at a table. Originally, he had it so that people couldn't sit but like every other table, but he's relaxed that rule now. But only 4 people can sit at a table. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Maybe I'll take you to the one in Carnesville and get cat head biscuits. That'd be good.
What is a cat head biscuit?
You've never had a cat head biscuit? Oh, man. A cat head biscuit is a biscuit, but it is made a particular way, and it is about yay big around. It's like bigger than a cat's head.
For the people listening at home, that's large.
It's very large. Yeah, it's about 4.5 inches across, something like that. 5 inches across, something like that. Yeah, good biscuits, though. It's from...
That's what she said.
Yeah, that's what she said. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We'll have a good time, and my aunt throws a rocking party, and they usually pull out all kinds of guns, and you'll get to meet all my drunk in-laws and outlaws. I'm not in-laws. My drunk outlaws.
Okay, cool. All right. Then they're all right.
You have to do it a little bit careful, but yeah, it's allowed.
Can I bring a bottle of cheap bourbon?
You'll have to put it into a red solo cup, just to be clear.
Done.
And like behind the scenes kind of thing, you know, so. But it's 100% allowed. It's just nobody really does it out in the open because...
Oh, you guys are Baptists. That's cool.
No, there's like 35 kids running around. So
yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, mine will not be running. He's
if we're lucky,
lazy,
if we're lucky, you'll get to see the some, you know, 15-year-old to 25-year-old get his finger blown off because that's kind of what they do, you know? Like,
well, that's what the 4th of July is all about.
Yeah.
Blowing shit up.
So
if you're buying fireworks from a guy with 10 digits on his hands... Yeah, the wrong place.
That's 100% true. So here in a few minutes, we're going to draft the best 4th of July fireworks. But before we do that, Josh is going to take us on a journey. Hop in your time machines, Nakahoma Nation, because the one and only Rhubarb Bram is about to crawl in the Wayback Machine, crank up the old-time rock and roll. I'm not sure exactly how far back you're going, Josh. Should we guess
pretty far
here? Okay,
take
wait
that old music
so
off
we're
the
going
shelf.
Back to the 20s, 20s swing? Should we go back that far?
Some weeks we're going to go back to the 20s, but this week the farthest back I'm going is 48.
48. So pull out your rock and roll, get your Rosetta Tharpe on the electric plug-in guitar ready to roll, and sit back and listen to the smooth tones of the one and only Rhubarb Brown as he takes you back through time in the Atlanta Braves time machine. Take it away, Rhubarb.
We're going to do a new thing called This Week in Braves History. You guys ready?
We're ready.
Okay, this week in Braves history, in 1948, on June 29th, the Braves sign Johnny Antonelli, an amateur free agent, 18-year-old out of Jefferson High School from Rochester, New York, senior out of high school, for $52,000 in 1948, which is the largest amount ever at the time. He'd make his major league debut. I think in 53, but what I learned, I did some recon on this guy. I had no idea about this until today, but back then, bonus babies had to stay with the MLB club for 2 years before going to the minors.
Mm.
Isn't that weird? So this guy signs for $52,000.
That's a lot of money back then.
And he has to stay on the roster, the Braves roster, for 2 years. And in 48, they go to the World Series. And I read that they hated him because he was good looking and he made more money than they did. And in 48, when they went to the World Series, the team got like a bonus to make that for going to the World Series, and they divided amongst themselves and they all voted not to give Johnny his share.
Wow, that's
true story.
That's cold hearted. What was Johnny? What position did Johnny play?
He was a southpaw. He's a pitcher. Yeah,
pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He went to the Korean War for a few years there and didn't have a very illustrious MLB career for the most part. But played for the Mets, I think, after he came back from the war.
Oh,
yeah,
world events.
Not illustrious at all.
World events from 1948. Gandhi was assassinated. The Nation of Israel was created. Stalin and Tito break. Interesting. I thought Tito was like, you know,
vodka?
No, I was thinking of like Tito, you know, the singer, you know. Interesting.
Okay, moving on. Also this week in Braves history, July 2nd, 1963, you guys might have heard this. It's a famous game when Juan Marichal for the Giants goes up against Warren Spahn, and they both pitched 15 scoreless innings.
That was when men were men.
15 scoreless innings, both of the starters. They didn't, no bullpen. Okay? Until Willie Mays ends the marathon with a dinger off a Spahn in the bottom of the 16th. Giants win 1-0.
You ever noticed I think Jerry Seinfeld pointed this out, how like things are better when you say them twice. Like men are men, dingers were dingers, women were women. You know. Anyway.
Yeah. Sounds better.
Yeah.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, although it's not today specifically, but since we're celebrating July 4th, the Rick Camp game of 1985, when Rick Camp, the relief pitcher for the Braves, hit the inning, although the Braves did end up losing the game, Rick Camp, a relief pitcher, hit the home run to keep the game alive at about 3 o'clock in the morning, or whatever it was, and it was, I think, a 16-inning game against the Metropolitans of New York, I believe it was. I could be wrong on the opponent, but the Rick Camp game is a legendary game that happened around this week 35 years ago.
Nice. Huh. Nice.
Huh. Huh. All right, this is a fun one. So this is my last one. This week in Braves history, 1932, July 3rd, there was a Boston law that prohibited games from being played within 1,000 feet of a church on Sundays. They finally rescinded the law, and it was the first Sunday game played at Fenway Park, and the Red Sox lost 13-2 versus the Braves. The team played at Sunday games at Braves Field on Commonwealth Avenue until the law was changed because Braves Field was not close to a church.
Hmm. Interesting. Hmm. Did you know in 1932 the Winter Olympics were held in Lake Placid, New York?
Interesting. I didn't know that. Yep. I didn't know the year, but I knew there was Winter Olympics in Lake Placid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the Miracle on Ice Olympics.
The Ford Model Y was first produced in 1932. And Aldous Huxley's A Brave New World was published. Man, that book was ahead of its time. What a cool book. You guys ever read that? You should read it. It's good.
I know I've heard of it. I might have read it in high school.
Yeah, it predicts like now in 1932. Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Did you say Aldous? I thought it was Aldous.
It's A-L-D-O-U-S. I don't U-S. Really know Aldous Huxley. Yeah.
They don't use that name enough anymore.
Aldous.
Yeah. No, a good Aldous.
So this has been Way Back Through the Time Machine with one and only Josh Brown and the sultry tones of the Atlanta Braves history. Rhubarb, thank you so much for taking us on a journey through the histories and the annals of time. So tune in next time.
You're saying annals this time and not anals.
Yeah, you got to work on that, Ken. Maybe
I said the right thing this time.
I said
the
right thing this time. You said anals before, and it's weird.
You did, yeah.
Yeah, I said annals this time.
We're trying to have a professional podcast.
Hey, speaking of podcasters, one of the cool things about being a podcaster is sometimes people send you cool things. And I want to give a shout out to one of our listeners, Mr. John Foss.
Oh.
My dude sending me a game-worn glove from number 50, Telvin Smith, middle linebacker.
Wow.
I won't mention his extracurriculars off the field, but on the field for the Jaguars, he was an awesome player. You know, he's been an all-pro, leading tackler on the team, Florida State Seminole. This was from a playoff win they had in the divisional round against Pittsburgh a couple years ago, put him in the AFC Championship game. He returned a fumble 50 yards for a touchdown.
Was that when Blake the Snake led him there?
Oh, yeah, Blake the Boat, Blake Bortles. Heck yeah. We were robbed of a trip to the Super Bowl because NFL needed the Patriots to be in that Super Bowl. That's another story for another time.
That's true.
But how cool is that, man? He knew I was a Jaguars fan, sent me the glove, and I told my wife, I was like, how cool am I going to look wearing like a jersey and a hat and one glove at the game? She's like,
right.
No.
Right.
Yeah. Because we're trying to go. Jaguars are playing at Green Bay. We've got a couple friends there. Green Bay Packers season ticket holders.
You should totally wear the glove to the game.
In Macon, Georgia, right?
Can you moonwalk?
You got to wear the glove to the game.
Like, if you moonwalk, going with one glove at the game seems like it would work. But just
saying. And now even I'm going to have a bottle of Tito's with me so I can say hi to my brother Tito.
Oh, nice.
Just like Michael. But I want to go to the Green Bay game because I'd love to go to Lambeau Field. As a football nerd, I'd love to go to Lambeau Field.
Oh, yeah.
But I might look a little ridiculous in the one glove. But
isn't that where the shittiest quarterback of all time played?
Mitch Trubisky. Oh.
What a loser.
Mitch Trubisky played there last year. So, I mean, let's just be honest.
Did that get you, JT? I like when I get JT.
Your abrupt hatred for Brett Favre.
I hate that loser.
Hey, with that note, fellas, let's talk 4th of July. It's fireworks time, baby. This draft will start with the one and only JT Holton because he's wearing American glasses. Gosh. I feel like it's important that he starts.
What are you talking about, like, best
then
fireworks?
Then Josh Brown, and then Ken. When you were I was planning to dive right into that. Since you were a child, there have been quite a few different fireworks that you have put your hands upon, that you have seen someone else put their hands upon, that have threatened you for your life, that you've run from, that you've been sure someone was about to put out your eye with. This is a draft.
I don't know my firework types, though.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're going to lose. So this is a draft of the one and only the fireworks. JT Holton, you are on the clock.
Okay, number one, go ahead and take it. It's number one in our minds and our hearts. Roman candles.
Oh.
Roman candles are the essential. Light up and shoot them, and they fly through the air. And I was in eighth grade. We went to Winter Place, West Virginia on a ski trip.
Mm-hmm.
And we got in trouble because we had a cabin and the girls had a cabin across the down kind of in the valley. And we got in trouble because we had bought at one of our pee stops along the way, they sold fireworks. And we bought some and we thought it'd be fun to light the Roman candles and pin them under the windowsill and kind of hold them there and shoot them at the cabin, you know, the girls. Mm-hmm. And no one's going to get hurt. It was all in good fun.
Sure.
It was hilarious. But yeah, we got in trouble for that. But Roman candles is your go-to easy number one. Kids like them. They're easy to do. They're not.
If you've
that
never
dangerous.
Shot someone with a Roman candle, have you ever really done?
Have
it
you lived?
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's like, okay, how daring can I get with shooting? Can I hold it in my teeth and shoot it off? Can I pinch it in my butt cheeks and shoot it off? You know, it's what.
Josh is apparently like cranking up the news here. What are we finding out here, Josh?
I'm listening to this radio ad that I did this week for this fireworks place to have an answer.
Oh, gotcha. Josh Brown, you are now on the clock.
So, full disclosure, I don't know. I mean, I've shot fireworks, but I don't know what they're called.
Really?
I like them. I like the assortment packs and stuff, but I'm going to go with 10-inch artillery shells.
Okay. All right. Artillery shells. What are they?
I don't know.
Okay, 10-inch artillery shells. Josh not winning this draft. That's okay. Ken is on the clock. I think at this point it's important that we go with an Old Faithful. Since Josh has been slacking here on relevant fireworks, I think it's important that I bring it back with a little bit of Old Faithful. And I think JT, I'm gonna start off with a bang. Literally, I'm gonna go with the firecracker.
Just the handheld,
the old Black Cat pack of Black
Cat firecrackers. Had one pop in your hand?
I have. Yeah, it hurts. If you get the wrong size, it can blow your finger off. If you get like serious.
Oh man, ones. What did we call? My uncle used to have those, and we would call. There was something we called them. Golly, I can't remember. It wasn't like the given name, but it was a. I can't remember what they called them. Jumping jacks or something like that. Does that sound familiar to y'all? And it was a little colored ones, like yellow one, and it'd be a flash of yellow.
Careful, JT,
when it
you
exploded.
Get canceled.
Not the. Okay, they had a color. Like the blue ones would explode and there'd be a quick blue flash, and the green one would have a quick green flash. And
I understand. Yeah.
You just light it and throw it and pop.
Yeah. Pretty good. I always liked the big old long string of black cats that would just run forever. You know, like
African American cats.
Yeah. Next, I'm torn. There's two really good options, and I don't know which one to leave on the board. I think I got to go with the more iconic one. Just a plain old out and out bottle rocket. Just
I was gonna pick that one next.
No, well,
you picked mine.
I did. You know, just they're not even all that fun. It's just like a staple to have them. Like is it
they're fun
really
to throw at people?
Is it really the 4th of July if you haven't shot off a screamer, you know, bottle rocket? And right. If Johnny Knoxville hadn't launched one out of his bunk, you know, like it's just that's how it works.
Was that I think it might have been Steve-O?
It probably was Steve-O or the midget or one of them anyway. But
the midget,
I'm sorry, that's probably the incorrect term.
Wee
little,
man,
little person, wee man, yeah.
Which is way more politically correct to say wee man.
Yeah, there we go.
Midget.
So far I've got firecrackers, bottle rockets. Josh, it's back to you. The artillery shells really is not a bad pick. It's just not what I would have picked my first round. So, Josh is listening to his commercial again to see what other items
to get
there
some,
might,
draw there some inspiration.
Yeah. Josh, when they bought that advertising for your radio, they had no idea that they were going to get to advertise on the Non-Combination Podcast show as well.
I'm going
to
say, what was my last one? What was my first one?
Artillery shells?
Did I give you the inch, though?
I think you said 10-inch, yeah.
I'm going to say 6-inch artillery shells is my number two pick.
Oh, gosh. Josh, really? Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Well,
at least Josh knows his inches. What about you, JT? We're moving right along with this show.
First off, you're going to stand there on a fireworks stand and tell me you don't have no whistling bungholes, no spleen splitters, whisker biscuits, honky lighters, husker do's, husker don'ts, cherry bombs, Nipsey dazers, with or without scooter stick, or one single whistling kitty chaser?
And for
that's
those,
a quote from
those
American
who don't know
classic.
Those, yeah, exactly.
And this is not a joke. This is not a joke. On record. My father's favorite movie of all time. you meet my dad. You say, "What's your favorite movie of all time?" He, without hesitation, he'll tell you, "It's Joe Dirt." He's seen it 45 times. I'm not even kidding. That is his Citizen Kane. That is his cinematic masterpiece. It's freaking Joe Dirt. I love, okay, there's two versions of this, but I like the crackling pops. So that's what I call them. The ones you, the little ball things you throw on the ground and they pop.
Snap pops.
My kids love them. The snapping pops, crackling pops, whatever. When I was a kid, I thought it was funny. Funny trick to play on your wife. Go take a box of those and go to your bathroom and put them under the toilet, under the rim. So when your wife sits down the toilet, they all pop.
Like under
the seat. There's a heavier brand of those, though, that are like legit dynamite pops, like bigger, louder, stronger. And we did those last year, and we were all out in the drive. It was nighttime. We're shooting off fireworks. And, of course, we're all barefoot because it's July and it's hot. And we're all throwing those around, and some of the kids are throwing them, and they don't throw them hard enough to pop. So now we've got to walk back into the house barefoot, trying not to step on these dynamite pops that the kids have laid all around, like damn landmines all around the driveway. And I'm walking around like, I've never been so scared to walk back into my house. Like, I'm going to, you know, you don't want to step on those bad boys. But I like them. The kids like them. They can be fun with them. You can even snap them there in your hand. Fun times. They're not really a firework, but it goes along with the whole, you know.
Yeah.
The whole game.
Yeah. All right. So you've got Roman candles. You got snap pops, crackle pops, whatever you want to call them.
Third pick. I'll go basic. Who doesn't love sparklers?
Sparklers.
Like, put them in your sparklers, dude. You don't feel like Goldberg coming out for a wrestling match when you've got sparklers in your hand? No, don't worry, Josh. You're not. Sparklers are the best, man. Sparklers are fun. Like, you can put them in your bicycle spokes. You can do them around. They're just a fun time. You turn into a kid when you're holding a sparkler. A
neat trick, if you have little kids, easiest way to deal with sparklers, take you a solo cup, small one, like little kids' solo cups, punch a hole in the bottom of it, put the sparkler through it, light it, and that way your kid doesn't burn their hands. Like, especially if they're, like, real little.
Look at
that.
Works really good.
Yeah, works really good.
But, like, you turn into a kid. I don't care if you're 35 years old. You hold a sparkler, you turn into a kid again.
That's true. And you feel like you have to twirl it around and, like, write stuff with it. Yeah.
Yeah. You turn into a little kid. It's fun for, like, 2 minutes.
If you want to have fun, set your camera exposure to be really slow and do that and try to spell something with it. And you get, like, the whole letter saved in. Yeah, it's really cool. Really cool. Josh, back to you. Are we going with 2-inch shells this time? Oh, no. We're listening to more of commercial. Here we go. If it's legal in the state of Tennessee. If it's legal. I wonder if. Oh my gosh. You can't believe he doesn't know anything about fireworks.
I'm going to go with 200 gram cakes.
Okay.
What are 200 gram cakes?
I don't know. Like he's buying.
That's what Willie D. Board told me to put in the ad.
His name's
Willie D. Board. I swear to God, his name is Willie D. Board. He runs the State Line Fireworks.
Josh is actually buying cocaine, cakes of heroin, cakes of cocaine. I don't know.
You guys can verify this. You go there. His name's Willie D. Board. He drives a 1991 Ford.
Your redneck card has been revoked, Josh. You don't know fireworks.
I'm not a redneck. I play one sometimes. I'm a total yuppie.
You are. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's to me. The last one, there's two that I want to pick. I can't pick two. All right. I'm just going to go with the straight up mortars. They're the coolest firework. They make the biggest bang, the biggest splash in the sky. Mortars are just fun.
Not as big as the 5 to 6 inch artillery shells. That's not true. I'm just saying, according to Willie, that's
I want it.
Mortars are the ones you lose a digit on.
They're the ball that have the long fuse, and you stick them down the tube, and you light the fuse out the top, and then you run.
What you know about artillery shells, motherfucker? Huh? Nothing.
Wow.
Graham cakes. To be fair, Josh, your first cuss word this entire recording. I'm proud of you for waiting this long.
I know. I've been doing really good.
To be fair, artillery shells, most of the way they're calling them, Josh, actually are mortars. Like, I'll give you mortars since you didn't know what you were saying. So I'll leave you that.
I don't need your charity.
I will change and not go mortars since you were going with artillery shells. They're mortars. That's a different name for them. I will go with M80s.
Wow. Are those actual fireworks? They are. That's just general weaponry.
It kind of is, but they're outlawed in most
Kenny's
states
like,
now.
Kenny's like, my favorite's the bazooka. I'll go with the bazooka.
But M80s, for a long time, M80s were the thing that you could drop down into a toilet. and when it would explode, it would actually blow the toilet apart.
I'm going to go with the Soviet-made bazooka.
What, JT?
The movie Problem Child, I think. Yeah. It might have been Problem Child, too. But
M-80s sound like a cannon going off. Yeah.
I thought it was an urban legend that you could flush those and they would explode the toilet.
If you have a fuse that'll stay together, it actually can do that, JT. But most of the fuses go out if you put them in that much water. So
who is in Problem Child? What was that guy?
John Ritter, Gilbert Gottfried.
John Ritter, yeah. John Ritter. Didn't he die or something?
Yeah, John Ritter died during Eight Simple Rules. Yeah, had a heart attack.
It was an aortic, whatever, like an explosion, not just a heart attack.
Massive coronary.
Yeah.
All right, Josh, you need to play up on your fireworks game. Maybe I can have my little cousin teach you something this weekend, and you can learn about fireworks.
John Ritter died the same day Johnny Cash died.
Oh, wow. I
didn't know
that. I just remember that.
More credit to JT. You mentioned this one, but honorable mention that was left off, cherry bombs. Also, did y'all ever have any of the...
Also a good John Cougar Mellencamp song.
That's true. Did y'all ever have... the little spinners, little spinner kind.
That would just... Or the
you light them
Army
and throw them on the ground
the
and they'd spin in circles, like around and around.
Or the Army tank that would do that. Tank, he would light it and it would...
And then the screaming whistlers, like you buy a pack and it's like a square pack and you set it off and it's...
That's what I think about when I think of neighborhood fireworks. Like you're in your house.
Yeah.
And you're actually wanting to sleep.
There's always that one jackass in your neighborhood, though, that spends like $800 on his fireworks.
That's
like,
my
dude,
cousin's.
Who are you?
Yeah, that's my cousin's.
What are you doing? Who are you trying to impress?
Now, so here's the thing. Do you guys have good fireworks stories? Because I got a couple. First of all, I went over to my buddy's house 1 year, and families were there, and we did fireworks. And first of all, his neighbor's dog was out there, and... his neighbor would hold the dog, and when we would launch the firework, he would let him go, and the dog would try to catch the firework. It was fantastic. Secondly, we had one of these kits that had, like, you know, JT, how they have, like, 15 mortars in the box, like it's a box set. So you light one fuse, and then it gradually lights each of the mortars off. So we had one of those. And we didn't really read the instructions, because who reads the instructions on fireworks? You just light the fuse and go kind of thing.
Yeah, basically.
And so we didn't read the fact that it said you should take two cinder blocks and like wedge this thing between them. So we had it just sitting on like a wood board, you know, so it wouldn't light the ground on fire. And three shots in, it turns itself over with recoil and then proceeds to shoot at everyone sitting on the ground with mortars. So, boom, pew, pow, like all over. We're running, scattering, diving for cover. It was a full-on experience.
That's happened. If you've ever been to the beach for July 4th and done fireworks on the beach, this will happen. It happened to us 1 year where you kind of dig out a little hole.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of those big cylinders that you light the fuse.
Full-on mortar style. Yeah.
And sometimes you light it and then you... You move out of the way, and that movement causes that thing to shift in the sand.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's tilted on its side. So now it's like, uh-oh, everybody go. And everybody just takes off running because these things are shooting. Now they're not shooting up in the air.
No, right.
They're shooting horizontally just at wherever. And, I mean, look, if one of those hits you, it would burn, but it's not life-threatening. You know what I mean? Like, it was one of those things where feeling is shooting out these, you know, blue, red, whatever, different color things. And if you get hit, you'd have a burn mark, but, I mean, you'd live. You probably wouldn't even need to go to the ER. Mm-hmm. But when I was, like, 10 years old, it's absolutely, like, the most frightening thing that's ever happened, you know?
Yeah.
You feel like you're in D-Day all of a sudden. And you're just running scared on a beach. So, yeah.
Best
careful,
things to...
Careful out there, guys.
All right. Yeah, be careful out there. Best things to eat on 4th of July, fellas.
That I can say on this podcast?
Oh,
we're not drafting here. I'm just asking questions. Oh.
Best things to eat, like for me, like I just love like
yes,
honestly,
JT, yes,
like hot dogs and burgers, man, hot dogs, burgers, and watermelon.
Watermelon
and
was where I was going.
Watermelon.
It's like
watermelon.
One time a year.
For the love of Pete, don't call it a barbecue if you're having hot dogs and hamburgers, okay, folks? It's just grilling out. Don't say we're having a barbecue on July 4th. Okay, unless you're actually having barbecue, unless
you
actually have a smoker,
if you say that you're
having pulled pork,
you're a Canadian socialist
It's ridiculous.
Right.
It's mm-hmm. the biggest gripe. Biggest gripe I have about people from the North is when they call that a barbecue, or they refer to the actual grill as a barbecue. Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah,
fellas, just so you know, this weekend down here, it's supposed to be 91 degrees with 71 at night. So, you know, whatever cooling things you might have, you may want to bring some of that with you for the fireworks.
Cooler than it is here. I don't know about the rhubarb coming off the mountain back to real life, but it's about the way it is here. So, I understand. Fried chicken. Fried chicken's good, but usually it's a grilling out thing, I guess, for 4th of July, you know? Bratwurst was mm-hmm. good. If you're doing anything else, I would
say
go by and pick up
a
basket of fried chicken.
Some year. We've had years where Mama would take the chocolate fountain and melt it and put out there and then have, like, lots of fruits and stuff that you could stick in the chocolate and eat, but she doesn't do that every year. She does it some years.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a little different, but if you're doing a chocolate fountain, you only want to do it with kind of a semi-small group. You don't want to, like, do the whole, you know, Golden Corral chocolate fountain. That's a little scary. But
right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, an underrated July 4th move, so, get a fish fry going. Get your fish fried. You can make a bunch of grits.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Fried catfish if you've been catching them.
Low country bowl, also acceptable.
Low country bowl is always a great way to feed a bunch of people at once. Definitely doesn't cost a whole lot either. Paying for
we
corn,
like the
potatoes,
low country bowl when it starts to cool down. Yeah, we go for the low country bowl in the fall most of the time, just because it's kind of hot.
Or
one
of my favorites is roasting liberals on Twitter.
Freedom intensifying.
I love a good fish fry.
Speaking of freedom intensifying,
catfish and grits, good for me.
Mm. Nice. I will not vouch for this side of my family's cooking ability, so Saturday night we will fend for ourselves. We will eat things there that look okay, and then if you're still hungry, we'll do something afterwards. My other side of the family cooks really well. This side of the family, it's hit or miss. Sometimes it's good. We do. So sometimes it's a little hit or miss at family cookouts, but anyway. We'll make it work. Hey, fellas, I do, speaking of roasting liberals on Twitter, Josh, you mentioned this, Jemele Hill getting canceled on Twitter today, or this week. She's the black girl that used to be on ESPN that suddenly made everything about race, like, to a psycho level. She was famous for, like, wearing a different t-shirt every day on ESPN. I don't know if you remember any of that, but.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
Anyway. I really don't. I know. I remember, like, ESPN being political, and I'm sure I remember her.
Yeah, somebody dug through her old tweets, which normally I would find despicable, but, you know, when someone tries to cancel everything, it seems kind of hilarious. She back in 2009, apparently tweeted something. My Facebook friends are calling him Manny the Tranny, so inappropriate and hilarious. And therefore, the left is coming for her because she called someone Manny the Tranny and thought it was hilarious. So,
who is Manny the Tranny? Is it Manny Ramirez?
I don't even know what this was in reference to.
That's what they're canceling her over?
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
She said calling someone Manny the Tranny was homophobic and transsexual phobic. Yeah.
I need to know more about Manny to determine if it's funny or not.
That's what I've been trying to find out, you know, like, what?
Because at certain points, it can be hilarious.
Huh.
Well, like, if I was a Yankees fan, and Manny Ramirez with the long hair and dreadlocks, and he was kicking our butt, I would love to call him Tranny Ramirez. Like, of course, you got to make fun of the, you know.
Do you know that Manny Ramirez's son is now playing baseball? He's only been playing for 2 years, and he's, like, a beast and cracking bombs.
I feel really old.
Like, the Blue Jays are making me feel old enough having Biggio and Vladdy and Bichette's kids playing.
Yeah.
That makes me feel really old. I was perusing my websites today on my phone, and the Atlanta Hawks blog I read, they're doing a thing for draft profiles, and their draft profile today was on Kenyon Martin Jr., who I vividly remember being the number one pick in the draft like 20 years ago.
Kenyon Martin Jr., wow.
Kenyon Martin was the number one pick, played Cincinnati, played for like 15 years in the league. Yeah, and it's weird that we're now seeing the guys we played like kids. Like, you know, one of the top quarterbacks in high school was Deion Sanders' kid, and he's going to be a big commit somewhere. Like, this is weird. This sucks. I don't like watching the Blue Jays play and be like, I remember when his father were playing. He was a good. I don't like that. I don't like seeing Vlad Jr. and be like, well, he's just like his daddy. I remember watching his daddy play, and he could hit a ball anywhere. If it was thrown at his ankles, he could knock it out of the park. Like, I'm 34. I shouldn't be talking like that. It sucks. Oh, this is the way it is. Like, we're getting that age where, like, we can tell our kids we saw that guy's dad play, you know?
Yeah, for real.
Weird.
Anyway,
yeah, won't be long before we're seeing Ronald Acuna the third, and you know,
The whole Blue Jays squad, like players' kids from when we were kids.
Yeah, they have Kevin Vigio and Bo Bichette and who names a kid Bo?
Bo Bichette. It sounds like a Star Wars character, Boba Fett.
Boba Fett. Boba Bichette.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and Boba Fett had a stomach problem, and it led to Boba Fett. That's what happened. Fellas, if you want to look in the chat there, you'll see a link to the tweet showing Manny's son cracking a double.
Oh.
He's a big kid. 2021 uncommitted check outfielder.
We should preemptively check that kid for roids.
Here's another. I'm getting you another picture of him now. Another video here for you to take a gander at, the old Manny's son. Handy Manny. While we're talking about craziness and canceling people and liberals and all kinds of sports stuff, 37 Clemson players have now tested positive for the COVID virus. Can I just say Dabo Swinney is a horrible genius? Because if he gets his entire team to immunity before the season starts, do you know what kind of advantage that is? At least all the starters. I mean, at least get your 38 starters or whatever, you know, your people that you're going to traditionally use, get those guys clear, and then you don't lose them during the season to it, right? I mean, Clay Travis already hinted this, who's going to be the first coach to do this so their team doesn't have to lose players during the regular season to quarantine, right? What are your thoughts on this, Josh?
Are they going to have the season?
I think college football will.
I don't know.
I think the SEC will. And the ACC are, I don't know about ACC up north, but like I really think there's too much money for them to say no.
Well, at least we know now, because we've had 37 Clemson players test positive for coronavirus. At least we know that steroids are not a vaccine for the virus, so we can eliminate that, which is good.
Because a kid somewhere is yelling at their podcast
I did that just for them. I'll make it up for it and say, he's probably not at this point.
I bet they all went squatching together is how they all got this. Like, they were out hunting for Sasquatch and ended up getting the COVID because they weren't wearing masks because Cousin Kent told them they didn't have to.
I am kidding. I like Kent a lot. We both agree that Ricky Steamboat Randy Savage is the greatest wrestling match of all time, so I can't hate a guy that shares my beliefs in that. But it is weird, because there is a part of you that thinks, like, okay, is this by design? But again, we know that 18 to 21-year-old players, they're going to be knuckleheads. They're going to do whatever they want to do in their free time. That's true. It's not surprising that a bunch of them get coronavirus.
100% true.
They're probably been going out to bars and hanging out and doing stuff with their friends regardless.
And they're also asymptomatic.
They're kids.
Which,
that's true.
Right.
No one reads these things.
No one's in danger.
Damn articles. And they're not going to. Right.
Well, I mean, it is a little danger, but no one's in danger. Immediate danger. I think that's the way of putting it.
The players' grandmas might be in danger, but... And that's really the thing. I think we need to keep that in mind, because we're going to have Major League Baseball players test positive. We're going to have NBA players test positive. We're going to have hockey players test positive. As they come back, they're going to be testing. Someone's going to get the virus. What they need to keep in mind is, A, as long as
I love how they're
like,
trying to make this spin that Rudy... You know Rudy Gobert had it first or whatever, yeah. JT, in the NBA.
Gobert.
They're trying to make this spin that he has been Gobert.
Gobert, he's French. I didn't know Gobert. How you said it.
They've been trying to spin this thing that he's still suffering from the effects of it.
He says he still does not have a sense of smell. For a minute. Is what he says. He says he still does not have a sense of smell.
Like, who cares? Like, what's that got to do with anything? You don't have to smell to play basketball. It's not, you're not Urban Santana where you're trying to smell baseball. Like, yeah, come on.
Yeah, I mean,
who cares
yeah,
that, if you don't have a sense of smell?
And it, agreed. I think people need to keep that proper perspective. And some people are, and just like in normal life, sometimes players get sick and can't play that day. And that's going to be kind of how it is. As long as we can keep players from being hospitalized and being in a life-threatening situation, you're going to see players that, hey, I've got coronavirus and I'm going to be gone for 10 days. You know, and it's going to be like a DL stint. And that's just going to be the way life is. I don't want to use the phrase the new normal, but here I am. But that's going to be kind of how we got to approach things for at least the next year or so.
Yeah.
Cole Hamels has coronavirus, will miss next start. You know, he's on the DL for 10 days. Or IL, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, now, as long as they're not, like, on a ventilator, which, knock on wood, Lord forbid that happens. We don't want that to happen. But these things are going to happen. And you're going to have players for whatever your favorite team is that are going to test positive, and they're going to have to that's why we have a 60-man pool. Is because we anticipate things like that happen.
Yeah.
So,
you know, if the 60 men didn't all get in the same pool, then maybe they wouldn't have coronavirus, if we're honest. But I'm just saying.
Chlorine kills the virus.
Yeah, but what if you don't swim under the water, Josh? Just saying.
Okay.
I bet there's Braves players that don't swim.
Which ones?
Tuki Toussaint.
Wow, racist.
I don't know. I don't know who doesn't swim. I'm just like throwing this out there that I bet there's a Braves player that doesn't
cannot
swim.
Cannot believe you just said that.
Why?
I can guarantee Dansby Swanson has never got his head underwater. Like, he'll be the guy in the pool. It's like, don't get my hair wet. Stop splashing.
I figured Dansby like daily went to the pool, ducked his head under, practiced like coming out and splashing his hair back. Like
Freddie Freeman has never been outside, let alone in a pool. So that's something.
That's probably true. Yeah, that's probably true.
Mike Soroka has never been to a
pool. He qualifies to get
from the North Pole.
In the shallow end. I bet Aussie can't get his shallow end. Like it looks like his helmet came off because he's got his head thrown back trying to like stay above the water, you know.
Mike Soroka may have never learned to swim because all his pools are all frozen. So he may have never had to learn to swim. He's just, what is this about?
It's like, how do I swim, eh? Yeah.
What's this about, eh?
All right, well, to wrap this episode up, fellas, we haven't asked this in a while. What are you reading?
I just finished Ronald Reagan's An American Life. It's
nice.
800 pages. And it's definitely a nerdy dive. His letters with Mikhail Gorbachev and all that kind of stuff. It's definitely a weird nerdy. But if you're a political science nerd, it's a cool read. It's a presidential memoir. Whether or not you're a Reagan guy or not, it's interesting. And I've been reading it since like May, so I'm glad I finally got that done.
Good job. That's a tough
one. One of the largest books I've ever read.
Tough to dig through.
Read. Yeah.
What about you, Joshua?
Reading a couple things. I'm reading Unscripted.
Nice. How's that?
Which is Ernie Johnson Jr.'s bio.
I've heard it's really good.
Oh. It's great.
He's a good dude.
Yeah. It's one of those things you read and you're like, man, that guy's amazing. He's just such a good person and wants you to
amazing
be a better
dad.
Man and better dad. Yeah.
He's an amazing dad. His son.
Ernie Johnson's a good guy. And I tell you, you don't have to be a basketball fan to enjoy NBA on TNT. That's one of the most well-done sports shows around.
Do you guys know about his dad?
Yeah. Ernie Sr.
Mm-hmm.
What about him?
Like, I mean, played for the Braves, but was really, really good. Played with Hank Aaron, all those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then was a broadcaster for a long time.
Legendary broadcaster for Skip and Pete. Back in the day.
A lot of younger fans might not know.
Do you know that I really miss the Ernie days? Like, I don't remember Ernie on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was a little before my time. Like, I don't remember it. And because for me, it was always Skip and Joe and Pete and Don. And
Don, yep.
And there's one other one that I'm forgetting. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's about it. Skip, Pete, and Joe and Don. That's about
There was one other guy, and I can't remember what his name is. Anyway, but yeah. I've been reading Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. Good book.
Really good.
Who's it by?
F.F. Bosworth. It was written in...
What's that about?
1923. It's an entire book dedicated to explaining how that God wants us healed physically.
Like, really? Okay.
Yeah, and how it was taken care of in the atonement the same time that we were born again. Yeah, cool stuff. Really good book. Fantastic.
Interesting. I've been reading a little bit of the New Testament, so I told you guys I read.
Nice.
Last weekend, I drank a six-pack of Oscar Blues and read Romans.
Nice.
Yeah. What beer from Oscar Blues did you drink?
It's some IPA.
It's Dale's Pale Ale?
No, it's not Dale's Pale Ale. I mean, that's like the original, yeah. But they have a new one out. It's like a hazy IPA. And for Father's Day, Nikki was like, why don't you go camping? So I went Sunday evening and hung out there by myself down on Watauga Lake and, just try to get back into the Word a little bit. So I read Romans and a little bit of 1 Corinthians. I'm just starting over.
I've been reading the Bible straight from page one to the end. I just finished the book of Ruth.
Nice.
Really?
Which was not... Yeah, I thought it was going to be about Babe Ruth. But it's not. So I was kind of thrown off a little bit. I'm like, wait a second. This is different.
Yeah.
So I've been reading through.
Well, you're short book. You're through some of the hardest reading, to be honest.
Let me tell you. Leviticus was a labor of love to get through that. Like Deuteronomy and that stuff was a little taxing.
I can deal with Deuteronomy. Leviticus gets. I enjoy parts of Leviticus, and then it dies down.
Leviticus is like reading Braveheart, isn't it? It's like all about a bunch of wars and stuff.
It's like reading the owner's manual to your car.
That's Judges. Right. I'm thinking of Judges.
Judges is fun. Yeah, Judges is a fun book. It's got.
I'm gonna try to read
Judges
the whole
New Testament. Has Samson and Deborah and all those stories in it. Yeah,
yeah. It goes through all the leaders of Israel. Like this guy led Israel for 40 years, and then the next guy.
I'm like obsessed about it. I think I'm gonna get one of those Dakes Bibles.
Mm. Can I give you better advice?
Well, I mean, there's like Scofield guys, there's Dakes guys, and there's like Charles Spurgeon.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I got mine. John Howard recommended to me as
what
a spiritual advisor.
What did he?
And this mine's called the Jesus Bible, and it has little inserts from guys like Louis Giglio, like that. It's more modern, and it's
what is it like the New Living Translation or something?
I'm not sure the exact translation, but it has little inserts before chapters and stuff, basically telling you what this book's about and explaining it in modern terms and stuff.
I've been enjoying. N.T. Wright's version that he wrote.
N.T. Wright?
Mm-hmm. N.T.W.R.I.G.H.T.
Does everyone you read have initial skin, or is that just a thing?
It's just a thing.
You should check out R.L. Stein. He has a thing called Goosebumps. It's very good.
Oh, that's funny. No, N.T. Wright, he did his own translation. It's pretty cool. I really enjoy
what's
it.
What's his called?
Let's see. What's the...
What's your take on Schofield's kind of old, super old school?
A lot of those guys are old, and they can get some stuff right, and they also get some stuff really warped. But just because we didn't have as good an understanding of Greek and some of the they've uncovered more information since those guys wrote. So
this is what I love about this podcast is you show up for our thoughts on the 60-man pool, and you stay. For our breakdown of who gives the best Bible interpretations.
Yeah.
Is it M.T. Schofield?
I mean, I like multiple versions. Tolkien? To be honest, I do like multiple versions. I read a lot of different versions.
Is it J.J. Abrams? You know, who gives the best
Bible? My personal Bible, I have two.
M.C. Hammer?
What's your personal Bible? What do you?
I have two. I have a leather-bound copy of The Message that also has the NIV side-by-side with it.
And your apartment smells of rich mahogany?
You know.
Yeah.
And then I have another version. It's also parallel. And it has King James Version and the Amplified Bible, and
that's what I've got.
Yeah,
I've got.
That looks like about identical.
What you just said. Yeah, I got this one. I got like a New American Standard
for just reading. Okay. I do enjoy the Message version, and I've really enjoyed N.T. Wright's version that I recently bought. It's like the, I'm trying to remember what it's called. Translation. Let's see here.
I just bought it, so I don't remember the name of it. It's called The Kingdom New Testament. And that's just
I don't like the Amplified. I mean, I've got the what you have, but it's so like
oh yeah, it gets too wordy. Like, yeah, it gets too wordy. I like it when I'm trying to study like and understand yeah. something. It's super useful, but like just reading it, I'd rather read the Message most of the time.
And
just
my wife's upstairs trying to sleep, and she's like, "Turn it down." I'm like, "I'm sorry, I can't. It's Amplified."
And on that note, that's going to do it for this week's Not Combination Podcast Show. Wow. Thanks for tuning in, hanging out, learning a little spiritual.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so he could have eternal life.
You sound like Stewie from Mad TV right now.
That's the Amplified version of the Bible, folks, in case you were wondering.
I'm Stewie.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God.
And the Word was made flesh, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made.
Honey, can you read quietly? No, y'all. Honey. It's amplified. I'm sorry. Thank you.
If you'd like to join the craziness that is Not Combination, you can do so at patreon.com/Not Combination. If you'd like a shirt representing the nation and your own swag and gear, do so at shop.spreadshirt.com/Not Combination. Tune in. Grab you a shirt. Grab you a sticker if you want to join the band, join the gang. Get your own shirt through the Patreon process if you want to and support everything going on here. Get your own shout out on the show if you want to. We appreciate all our patrons and all of those of you who buy shirts and do all kinds of things, help keep the show going. We thank you for listening. Have an amazing 4th of July. Thanks for hanging out with us. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to Research Assistant Braves Options Guy and Spiritual Advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.